So most of you will know, before even starting today, that the Feast of Trumpets was commemorated by blowing of a shofar. Maybe we'll hear that today. I'm not going to play it. I know Mr. Boykin would play it if he was speaking. Maybe he will in announcements. I don't know. Maybe Mr. Kozer will. But the blowing of a shofar. And one of the purposes of that was to get people's attention. You know, bam, get their attention. So I want to do that today with what I start with here. Maybe get your attention a little bit. Maybe say something a little controversial. Get your blood boiling a little bit. Maybe you'll be a little disturbed when I say this. But my point is to get your attention. Did you know that the day you are observing today is a holy day? Did you know that it is never, not once, explicitly mentioned in the New Testament? In fact, all the other holy days are given at least one mention by name in the New Testament. But nowhere is the Feast of Trumpets explicitly called out by name. Now, before some of you head for the doors because you figure, well, why am I here? Before some of the heresy police carries me off the stage. My purpose today is to actually show you that despite maybe that seeming a little uncomfortable at first, my purpose today is to show you that there is substantial proof of the Feast of Trumpets in the New Testament. In fact, my purpose today is to show you four parallels of proof that very clearly, and you'll leave here without any doubt, that tie the Old Testament Feast of Trumpets and the New Testament Feast of Trumpets. And as we go through those four parallels, along the way, we're going to unlock a lot of the meaning of this day that God ingeniously implanted from the beginning of time. Before we get into those four parallels, though, I want to soothe anyone out there who's feeling a little bit of crisis of faith about this not being mentioned explicitly in the New Testament. Because there's one really good reason why that might be. And if you want to turn now to Leviticus 23, we're going to read a lot of scriptures today. I usually don't turn to a ton of scriptures, but we're going to turn to a lot of scriptures. If you get tired of flipping, I will read them. You don't have to turn there, but I think it's good. When we're talking about, you know, the Old Testament, New Testament, Feast of Trumpets, are there parallels there? It helps to see it in your own Bible. But if you would, turn to Leviticus 23. Maybe explain a little bit why this holy day is not mentioned specifically in the New Testament by reading about its command in the Old Testament. Leviticus 23, and we'll read verses 23 through 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, which is today, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." And then it goes on to the next holy day in Leviticus. Now, if you compare this feast to the other Old Testament holy days, one thing stands out. I don't know if you picked up on it, but neither here or really in the rest of the Old Testament is this feast given a formal name. It didn't say it's the Feast of Trumpets. All of the other holy days, all of them, are given a name in Leviticus 23, except for Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks. But that clearly has a name found elsewhere in the Old Testament. You can do a search on Feast of Trumpets in any literal translation of the Bible, such as the King James, New King James, etc., and the phrase does not exist. Obviously, the holy day does. It just wasn't given that as its formal name. So that may be one reason why you don't find it explicitly mentioned as the Feast of Trumpets in the New Testament. But obviously, God has ordained this day as a day with trumpets as its central theme and symbol. That was clear when we just read there. It's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. That kind of sticks out. And that's crucial to its identity. And we're going to continue to look at that here. That's crucial. So one reason why this holy day is never explicitly mentioned by name in the New Testament may be that it never really has a specific name to start with. But as we will see now, this holy day's fingerprints are all over the New Testament. So maybe you've had that before. I've had that. People have kind of said to me before, you Feast of Trumpets, come on, man. It's not even in the New Testament. So if anybody said that to you, you should be able to walk out of here today saying, yes, it is, and have a way to go show that. Well, let's start with these parallels. There's four parallels, like I said, and as we go along with these parallels, you're going to learn a lot about the meaning of this feast. This message is going to be a little broader. We're not going to go deep on any of the topics. There's a lot of topics to go deep here. We're going to go broader. We're going to look at these parallels, and you should be able to learn a little bit about this holy day. Let's start with the first and most obvious parallel that connects the Old Testament Feast of Trumpets with the New Testament. And that is the central theme of this holy day, the blowing of trumpets. This day was just not any day of blowing of trumpets, but the trumpet sound on this day in the Old Testament was a special series of long, blaring trumpet blasts from the shofar trumpet. The sound of this type of trumpet blast was a powerful reminder to the Israelites of what this day symbolized. So we're going to look at these. Now, trumpets are mentioned 90 times in the Old Testament. I think I used the New King James to look that up. 90 times in the Old Testament, trumpets are mentioned. And we won't go to all those scriptures today. But you could do a study of your own at home. You could go to a Bible software tool and put in trumpets. You could read all the verses that mention it. But trumpets are consistently a symbol of five things in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you five. You might come back and say, yeah, you missed one or two, maybe. But let's just look at five of them. And when we look at these symbols in the Old Testament, if you take notes, I'd ask you to write down these symbols that we see in the Old Testament. Write them down on the left-hand side of the paper, because we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to write down five things that these are a symbol for in the New Testament. And we'll compare notes a little bit. So the first one is, the trumpets are consistently a symbol of a call to gather God's people together, to God calling his people together. Let's look at an example of that at Mount Sinai. If you would, turn to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. And I'm going to read examples of each one of these in the scriptures as we go here to prove to you that these are the symbols that you see in the Old Testament. Exodus 19, and I'll start reading in verse 13. And this is God speaking to Moses. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. And then in verse 16 and 17, it said, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud. So to all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. The trumpet call gathering the people before God. You could write in your notes Numbers 10 and verse 3, another example of trumpet calling the people of God to gather before him. I'm going to read here Isaiah 27. You can turn there or you can write it down. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. This is a prophecy in the future. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come, who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Here we see Isaiah declares that the trumpet of God will sound, and people will gather together to worship God. So clearly a symbol of the trumpet, the first one is, it's a symbol of calling people together, God's people together, before him. Second symbol that we see in the Old Testament is the trumpet as a call to remind God to remember his people. Let's turn to Numbers 10, and I'll read verses 9 through 11. Numbers 10, verses 9 through 11. When you arrive in your own land and go to war against your enemies who attack you, sound the alarm with the trumpets. Then the Lord your God will remember you and rescue you from your enemies. And does God really need to hear the trumpet sound to remember them? No, but it was a visible symbol that they could do when they were in trouble. They could blow the trumpet, and they could know that God would come. He said he would here. Blow the trumpets in times of gladness, too, sounding them at your annual festivals and at the beginning of each month. We'll come back to the beginning of each month part later. And blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and peace offerings. The trumpets will remind your God of his covenant with you. I am the Lord your God. It's very clear there. It says that the trumpet will remind God to remember his people. And we see this theme. I could turn to another number of other scriptures where this theme is seen in the Old Testament, where the trumpet sound reminds God to remember his people. So that's the second one. So trumpet symbol, it's a reminder of God, or God gathering his people. And here it's a symbol of him to remind him to remember his people. The third one is the symbol of the trumpet in the Old Testament symbolizes the voice of God. Symbolizes the voice of God. Exodus 19:19. We were already in Exodus 19, but we read 16 and 17. Well, in verse 19 it says, as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. So this is at Mount Sinai. This is where God is, you know, coming, you know, gathering the people together and, you know, declaring his presence, about to deliver the Ten Commandments, the law. And it says, as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. In fact, through the entire scene that we see here of Mount Sinai, and you can continue to read on in Exodus 20, we see the symbol of God's voice as a trumpet. The symbol of God's voice as a trumpet. And if you do a study on what does the voice of God sound like, most scholars would use these scriptures and others to describe his voice as sounding like what? A trumpet. So the third symbol we see in the Old Testament is that the trumpet symbolizes the voice of God. The fourth one that we see this symbolizing, the trumpet symbolizing, is the impending judgment of God. Now, if you did a study throughout the Old Testament, like I said up front, and you searched on trumpets, you would see trumpets constantly used in war, distress, and alarm. And let's look at one of the most famous examples, one that maybe came to mind here. Even if you don't know the Bible well, this is one you might know that has trumpets in it, that has a little bit to do with impending judgment. Turn to Joshua 6. Joshua 6. We'll read quite a bit of this here. It's a colorful story. If you're a kid, you probably know the story, Joshua and the city of Jericho. But let's look at what the Bible actually says. Maybe you didn't notice some of the things that we're going to look at here, because trumpets are all over this. Now, the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people of Jericho were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. Now, Jericho sat right at the gateway to the Promised Land. The Israelites were entering the Promised Land, and this was the stronghold to get through the gate. Goes on to say here in verse 3, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. A ram's horn is the shofar that we were talking about that makes this trumpet sound. On the 7th day, you were to march around the town 7 times with the 7 priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. And we read that and say, oh, it's, you know, God's power. I mean, can you imagine how crazy that must have sounded at first to Joshua? So for 6 days, we're going to walk around it. We're going to be blowing the trumpets. And on the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. Everybody's going to yell. The walls are going to fall down. We'll read the story on here. So Joshua called together the priests and said, he had complete faith in what God said here. He did exactly as he'd instructed. Take up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people. March around the town and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns like a trumpet as they marched. And the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. There's a lot of symbolism I'm not going to go into here, but the fact that the trumpets are there announcing as the Ark of the Covenant follows them, it's kind of a whole other layer that I'm not going to cover. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns, and some of the Ark with the priest constantly blowing the horns. "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, and then shout." So as they walked around the city, there was no shouting, there was no noise except for the blowing of these trumpets, the shofars. So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early next morning, and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched in front of the priests. So the same thing happens. On the second day, they did it again. And they followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The seventh time around, as the priest sounded the long blast on the horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town." So there was impending judgment on Jericho. And the symbol of the impending judgment to the people in the city of Jericho was these trumpets that they heard for 6 straight days. And on the 7th day was 7 priests, 7 times. 7th day, the Israelites got up and down. They did that. They shouted, "The Lord has given you a town." The people heard the sound of the ram's horn. They shouted as loud as they could. The walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged into the town, captured it. So that's the fourth thing. The fifth symbol that we see consistently in the Old Testament of the trumpets is the announcement of kingship, coronation, announcement of the king. We'll look at one example of this. There's numerous examples you can find in the Old Testament, but 1 Kings 1 and verse 34. 1 Kings 1 and verse 34. "There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon.'" So this is King Solomon being made and declared king. And what do they do to declare him as king? They anoint him and blow the horn. Verse 39, and I'll read through 41. "Then Zadok the priest took the flask of olive oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon with the oil. Then they sounded the ram's horn and all the people shouted, 'Long live King Solomon.' And all the people followed Solomon in Jerusalem, playing flutes and shouting for joy. The celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. Adonijah and his guests heard the celebrating and shouting as they were finishing their banquet. And when Joab heard the sound of the ram, when he heard the sound of the ram's horn, he asked, 'What's going on? Why is the city in such an uproar?' It must have been so loud, it says it shook the city." And you could probably hear messages about that on the Feast of Trumpets as well, in a lot of depth about the sound, the loud of the noise and the shaking and all of the symbolism around that. So through those 5 symbols, God gathering his people together, reminding God to remember his people, the voice of God, you know, the impending judgment, and then lastly here, the announcing of kingship. What a powerful symbol this trumpet was to God's people, the Israelites, in the Old Testament. Now, let's just say you took the Old Testament and you threw it all out. It never existed. I hope you wrote some things down, but let's just say that never existed. And let's look and start from scratch with the New Testament. Comes to find out here that the trumpet is also an extremely powerful symbol to the New Testament Christians. The word trumpet is found 20 times in the New Testament. 14 of those references are in Revelation. So we're going to look at these, maybe not quite all 20, but a lot of them. And as we go through them here, I want you to write down what is the symbol of the trumpet that we see in the New Testament. And we're going to find 5 of them. Now, for sake of time here, I recommend maybe don't turn to all these, because I think a lot of you will know these, so you can jot them down. If you're a fast turner, go ahead and turn. Matthew 24 and verse 30 through 31. This is the first one. Then at last, the sign, this is Matthew 24, it's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the end times. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet. And what will happen at that? And they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. So the first thing we see here is the first symbol of the trumpet. Now, of course, it's related to the return of the Son of Man. We'll talk a little bit about that as one of the symbols too. But the trumpet sound here shows God gathering his people. It's a symbol of the sound and the gathering of his people. It says from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. The trumpet sound gathering God's people. That's the first symbol we see in the New Testament. You can write that one down on the right-hand side of your paper. For the second one, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. It's a little the same lines. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself, this is very similar to what we just read here in Matthew 24. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who died will rise from their graves. Let's read on in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, it says, it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. Now, the trumpet sound that we see in these two verses shows God remembering his people. They may have lost their physical lives, but it shows God remembering them here, those who've died in the faith, and he resurrects them to the newness of life. It's a reminder to God to remember his people. He hasn't forgotten them just because they're not physically existing. Now, those two verses should give us incredible hope. And when does it happen? What is the symbol of it? But the trumpet call. So for the second symbol you see in the New Testament, it shows God remembering his people. The trumpet sound reminding him to remember his people, those who have died in the faith. For the third one, turn to Revelation 1 and verses 10 through 11. So I mentioned 14 of the 20 mentions of the trumpet in the New Testament are in Revelation. So we'll look at Revelation here. Revelation 1 and verses 10 through 11. Here John writes, it was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice, like what? A trumpet blast. And it said, write in a book everything you see. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. And I will show you what must take place after this. And we know it's the revelation, the book is actually the revelation of God, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the trumpet here is it's being revealed to John, or the sound, the voice that's revealing this to him sounds like what? A trumpet. And the trumpet here, and we'll see other places in Revelation, it's a symbol of the voice of God. So that's the third symbol we see of trumpet in the New Testament, is the trumpet sound is like the voice of God. Go to the fourth one here, Revelation 8. Revelation 8. We'll go in a little more detail here because we'll read a little bit more of this later, but Revelation 8 and verses 1 and 2, and then I'll finish with verse 6. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And if you keep reading on here, and I said we will read them, but I think most of you will know, the seven trumpets start and lead to an impending judgment of God. Those trumpets, the reader would have read those right away and known that this trumpet was a symbol of the impending judgment of God. And then when you read the rest of Revelation, it's very clear that these trumpets, as they come through, are the judgment of God. So the fourth symbol we see in the New Testament of the trumpets is they symbolize the impending judgment of God. And then fifth and last, in Revelation 11 and verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. So the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven. And what did they say? The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That final great seventh trumpet blast symbolized what? The announcement of our eternal king, Jesus Christ, coming to reign. Now, the fifth symbol we see in the New Testament is the trumpet. It's a sound of kingship. It's a sign of kingship being announced. Now, stop for a second and look at your two lists side by side. Compare what you just wrote and saw as the symbols for the New Testament with what the symbols were in the Old Testament. And you can draw a little line between the two because they're the same. There can be no doubt whatsoever that God's central theme and symbol for this feast day, the trumpet, it has a consistent, fluid, and critically powerful message throughout the entire Bible. The parallels between the Old Testament and New Testament on just the symbol of the trumpet are so striking that it should be glaringly obvious to us that God's institution of this holy day in ancient Israel was and is incredibly relevant to the New Testament church as we spread the gospel of the kingdom of God, and it remains extremely relevant to us today. So that's the first parallel. Look at the trumpet. It's pretty obvious the two are very much in sync. The second parallel of the Feast of Trumpets, this is maybe one you didn't notice before, maybe a little more subtle, is the symbolism of the number seven. The number seven as God's symbol of perfect completion and finality. I'm not making up the seven thing. You can research it yourself. It's very clear. It's a whole message on its own that it's a symbol of God's perfect completion and finality. The creation was done in 7 days. It's the symbol of perfect completion and finality. Now, in ancient Israel, on each of the six new moons of the first 6 months of the year, the trumpet was blown. We read that in Numbers 10. You can read it other places as well. But when a new moon happened, they blew a trumpet. But each one of those trumpets was looking ahead to the great and resounding blast of the great trumpet blast, which happened only on the first day of the seventh month. It was a different trumpet blast. And so was every Feast of Trumpets. On the first day of the seventh month, the trumpet was blown differently than the other 6 months in a manner of volume and the lengths of the blasts. Debated even the type of trumpet that was used. And this symbolized the perfection of the number seven and the completeness or finality of the holy year as the seventh month began. So seven, let's look at this a little bit more. Now, maybe you're already noticing this, what we read in Joshua. Hey, didn't we just read? I mean, you were reading Joshua, and it just sounded like you were saying the same thing, but all I kept, it was like seven, 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 seven. Lots of sevens in there. I'm just going to read a little bit of it again. You know, on the second day, they marched around the town once, returned to camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days, kind of like the 6 months. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn, marched around the town as they'd done before. This time, they went around the town seven times. Remember, there were also seven priests. Seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, it was a different blast. And Joshua commanded the people to shout, to even make a greater noise. And that is when the city of Jericho fell. So, seventh day, seven times, seven priests, trumpet, God's judgment, gateway to the promised land open. I mean, it's just the symbolism between what we just see here in the story of Joshua and Jericho to the symbolism of this day, embedded with the number seven and the completion and how trumpets are interwoven. There's a lot of deep meaning and layers just in that. But let's fast forward to Revelation, because the parallels here with seven are not done. We already read this a little bit. I'll reread it again, though, because maybe you didn't catch it. Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, oh, look, there's seven seals. There was silence in heaven for about a half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. I'll read a little bit of this, because what were these? And remember, this is symbolic. The trumpet is symbolizing impending judgment in this case. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down the earth. I'll read on verse 8. Second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all blaze was thrown into the sea. And in verse 10, the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky. Fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars. I won't go into all the deep meaning of this. And as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." And then as we read before, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet in Revelation 11 and verse 15 through 19. And it's the announcing of the Messiah. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah. He will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened. Again, the imagery between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The temple in heaven is open, and within his temple was seen the Ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightnings, rumblings, thunder, earthquake, and severe hailstorm. You know, we see in Revelation six trumpet blasts, just like there were six monthly trumpet blasts that usher in the great blast of the seventh, which is different, which announces Christ as king and the completion and finality of God's judgment and plan. God ingeniously planted the seeds for this thousands of years before in the ritual of the blowing of trumpets on new moons way back in the Old Testament. And when this memorial that we are celebrating today, you know, it's almost like you can put on 3D glasses to see God, how God's seeds symbolized the great plan of salvation he had set in motion so long ago. I mean, it's pretty hard to deny the parallel of the seven trumpet blasts in the Old Testament calendar with the seven blasts of the trumpets in Revelation. So that's the second one, the number seven. That's a parallel between the Old Testament trumpets and the New Testament trumpets. The third parallel for this holy day between the Old Testament and New Testament is the symbolism, as this day is picturing the day of the Lord. Many times on this day you'll hear a message about the day of the Lord. Feast of Trumpets is picturing that day of the Lord. This was a wide-held belief in the Old Testament. You know, and it was clearly derived from the meanings of the trumpet, some of those we already read, and the symbol of seven, also what we just reviewed. I mean, the Old Testament even understood to some level degree that this day was symbolizing, and trumpet was symbolizing the day of the Lord. And that's linked together with the major and minor prophecies. Let's just take a quick look here. Joel 2 and verse 1. There's a number of scriptures we could turn to here. Joel 2 and verse 1 says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand." The trumpet of God will sound as a warning of the coming day of judgment. Even Jews today, as they commemorate Rosh Hashanah, recognize the symbolism of this day and the day of God's final judgment upon them as individuals and all mankind. You can research, even Jews have kept that piece of the original meaning. It's the day of the Lord is, and the judgment of God is interwoven and even remains in Rosh Hashanah. So this Feast of Trumpets consistently memorialized, as it says in Leviticus, the coming day when God judges his people and this world, the day of the Lord. That is the theme of the day of the Lord in the major and minor prophets. It's the theme of the day of the Lord in Daniel. And on the complete and consistent parallel of the day of the Lord found in Revelation, which we already read, completely interwoven with trumpets. All right, the fourth and final parallel I'll talk about today, and one maybe you didn't also notice before, is the parallel of the symbol of watchfulness and its attached meaning to this day. Watchfulness. Maybe you never noticed this before, but the Feast of Trumpets is the only holy day that lands on a new moon. It's the only one that's on a new moon. And as such, one of the hallmarks of this feast day in ancient times was watching for the new moon to come. Because it was hard to determine the exact time a new moon's coming. It's a lot easier to watch and see when the full moon is there. And probably none of you tried to do this in the 21st century, but to try to watch when is the new moon. Tricky. So in ancient times, what they actually did was they set witnesses who go out to these hills near maybe Jerusalem or wherever, at the time they were, and they would watch with great care and anticipation so that the day would not be missed. In fact, some Jews throughout history have kept this feast for 2 days. If you do a little research around the Feast of Trumpets or how Jews, a lot of them have kept Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets for 2 days. Why did they do that? Because it's not sure if it was this day or that day because it's so hard to determine the new moon. So this theme of watching and looking and watchfulness, it would have been very common knowledge to the Israelites, and it would have been one of the major facets of this day. If you had children, right, you would look up at the sky and to determine the day. You would be watching. Everyone would be watching for when the new moon would come. And it's a day that was a little bit of mystery around it, a little bit of a hidden day, just a little bit. And only by watching extremely closely could you even be close to knowing when it would be. Now, when we look to the New Testament and the return of Jesus Christ and the coming of the day of the Lord, it's amazing to notice how deeply rooted this idea of watching and watchfulness parallels this Old Testament theme of a day that's a little bit hidden or hard to know. So I'll give you a few examples of that. In Matthew 24, while prophesying his end time return, Jesus tells his disciples, what does he say? He says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." In Matthew 25, we're given the parable of the 10 virgins. And what are they doing? But they're watching for the bridegroom. And again, Christ says, "Watch, therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." In 1 Thessalonians 5, this is right after what we read, where Paul speaks about the rising of the dead in Christ at the last trumpet. We read that earlier. So right after that, Paul mentions in reference to that day, he says, "Let us not sleep, but watch." God in his amazing ingenuity and grand design, he implanted the sign of watching both in the Old Testament Feast of Trumpets And then in what its ultimate deep, full meaning and fulfillment of this day is. You know, one of the great mysteries of this day is what we read in Leviticus 23. I'll read it again. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. A memorial? Memorial? A memorial of what? It's a memorial of trumpets. Memorial. And that's been a mystery, and people have debated that. What is the memorial? What is the trumpets in memorial of? I mean, it doesn't actually say, does it? Right there, at least. Now, some have hypothesized, and we read this, you know, the voice of God at Mount Sinai, and the blast of trumpets, that this day is a memorial of the moment God gave us his eternal law as a gift. And that very well may be one element. I think that has a lot of credence to it. But I also think that the symbolism of this day and this core practice of watching for something, a day of watchfulness, gives us a clue. That the memorial of this day is kind of like a memorial in reverse. A memorial of the future that is symbolized by watching for this memorial to come in its final glory with the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which is consistent from Leviticus 23 through the last pages of the Bible and Revelation. So as I finish today, let me ask you a question. Can you see the Feast of Trumpets in the New Testament? If you say no, then we're just speaking two different languages, I guess. Because through the deep symbolism of the trumpet symbol and all its core meanings found identically in the Old and New Testaments, it's clear that the trumpet symbol is consistent. Through the unmistakable power of the symbol of the number 7 attached to the timing of this holy day and the timing out of Christ's return in Revelation, and through the celebration of this day, even by modern Jews, as symbolizing God's impending judgment and the day of the Lord, again, consistently memorialized in both the Old and New Testaments. And finally, we should see this through the action of watching, which has been embedded in this day from its very institution, threaded forward to our action in watchful anticipation of the final awesome fulfillment of this day. So I hope you can answer without a doubt that the Feast of Trumpets isn't just found in the New Testament, but at its deep core meaning, it is one of the most central, powerful themes of the New Testament. The gospel, the kingdom of God, which should be more relevant to us now than ever before.